I ran across a story this last week about a 7-year-old granddaughter who said to her grandfather, "In this family, we are kind of serious about God, aren't we?" Her grandfather said, "Yes, we sure are." And the little girl asked, "Why?" He wrapped the little girl in his arms, hugged her real close, and said, "So that I can hug you and tickle you and try to tell you how much I love you and how glad I am that God gave you to us." The little girl grinned and said, "That's cool." I began to think, I'm not sure that we could leave church today and run around and hug and tickle everybody that we would meet. They'd probably put us in a little room with padded cells, with padded walls. However, we are supposed to figure out how to show love to everyone we meet. The love we have experienced through Christ is supposed to be shared. This is our God-given mission, to connect people with Jesus. Not only to those we meet outside our church walls, but also inside the church as well. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus began in a very interesting way. He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Or as the Message by Eugene Peterson puts it, "If you love me, show it by doing what I have told you." I wonder what commandments Jesus was talking about. I think he was talking about the two most important commandments: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Later in John 15, Jesus says it this way: "This I command you, to love one another." Sounds simple. Seems like that should be pretty straightforward. Then why is it so easy to say and so hard to do? Why is it so hard to live out each day loving one another? Why? Because it makes a difference. First, it makes a difference to God. Some of us may have this gentle, heavenly watchmaker philosophy of God. He is the ultimate judge who will sort the good from the evil at the end time. But God really doesn't get involved much in our daily lives, right? No, this is not the biblical witness. Look at the experience of Cleopas and his companion on the road to Emmaus and how their hearts burned within them. We look at Saul, who was persecuting the church, and after encountering the risen and living God, became Paul and went on to be a chief evangelist of the early church. God got involved in their lives in very big ways. A religious cynic once said, "God made humanity on the last day of creation. When God realized what he had done, he took off and went into hiding." The search to find God is what we call religion. He was wrong, and that is not the biblical witness either. When God created humanity, God said it was very good. God did not take off and go into hiding. On the contrary, from the very beginning of time itself, God made himself totally accessible to all of humanity. More importantly, God wants a personal relationship with you. God created you. God created you unique. Imagine that. You are different from everyone else who has ever walked the earth. God knows you by name. You are one of God's masterpieces. If I've learned anything from my wife of 45 years, an artist does not walk away from his or her piece of art. I know. I have a house with over 100 paintings hanging on the wall. They never leave. In Exodus 19:5, God says it this way, "Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my commandment, you shall be my treasured possessions out of all the peoples." What difference does it make? It makes a difference to God. And secondly, it makes a difference to Jesus. While God says we will be his treasured possessions, Jesus takes us into a deeper relationship. In Matthew 20, Jesus said, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And at the very end, Jesus took that relationship a step further. In John 15, Jesus tells the disciples, "And to each of you today who are his children, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in the name of the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." So you see, how we live out these commandments of loving God with all we are and loving our neighbors as ourselves is proof of our love for Christ. It is not a simple saying we love him. It's just not good enough. It is doing what he told us to do. So you see, it does make a difference to God, and it makes a difference to Jesus. And thirdly, it makes a difference to you. I saw a nature show on television about a black bear that gave birth to two cubs. One cub died right away. 3 weeks later, the mother died, and the remaining cub was left to fend for itself. An orphaned cub in that condition is like a walking buffet for predators. And of course, the camera immediately showed a hungry-looking mountain lion. One day, the orphaned cub encountered a giant male black bear. The little cub cowered at the bear's sheer mass. The larger bear peered around and seemed to realize that the mother bear wasn't anywhere to be found. He gave the little cub a friendly nudge. The camera then showed the little bear happily trailing along after the larger one. The adoption papers were signed, sealed, and registered at the county, all in that little nudge. The papa bear proceeded to show the cub how to grub for insects and how to catch fish and how to scratch his back against a tree. One day, the two bears became separated. The cub began to cry and looked frantically for his new father, but couldn't find him anywhere. The cub approached a stream where he'd learned to fish, and something caught his attention. He looked up to see a mountain lion ready to pounce. That same mountain lion had stalked the cub for the entire show. There was no way that mountain lion would have gone for that cub with Papa Bear around. But now, the camera zoomed in on the cub. The small cub mimicked the posture of the adopted father when threatened. He stood up on his hind legs and bared his teeth. Then, in the same way his new father would have done, this cub let loose a mighty growl that would have reverberated throughout the forest. Well, sort of. Out of this little tiny bear came a squeak. That was it. Well, you know what was coming. But to everybody's astonishment, the mountain lion lowered his head and ran off in the opposite direction. The camera panned back to the proud little cub, still standing tall on his hind legs. And then all the viewers saw that the little cub, what the little cub could not see. A few yards behind him, at full, ferocious height, his sharp white teeth bared in a snarl, stood Daddy Bear. He may not have made a sound, but he was there. And even though the cub couldn't see his father stood guard, protecting his young. The little cub had power available, greater than anything he could produce on his own. There was a greater power watching over him. Jesus said, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them." We may not see or hear the presence of God all the time, but the power and presence of God is always available to us. No matter how frightened or alone we feel, no matter how much we feel abandoned or how weak or powerless we believe we are, that does not mean the Spirit isn't there. That doesn't mean we are not loved. We may feel separated from God, but God doesn't go anywhere. God is always with us, even when all we can see ahead of us is the hungry mountain lion. God protects and provides for us. We are God's treasured possession. We are God's children, and more than that, we are brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus. We are friends of Jesus. Jesus promised he will never leave us orphaned. Jesus promised to be with us always through the presence of the Holy Spirit. But again, there's that obedience clause, that faithfulness factor. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. That's the problem of the debate that's raging between the church and the community about the displaying of the Ten Commandments on public property and in courthouses. The point is not where the Ten Commandments are displayed. The most important place for them to be displayed is in the lives of those who claim kinship with Jesus. So you see, it does make a difference to God, and it makes a difference to Jesus. And it makes a difference to you. And finally, it makes a difference to others. We were never meant to be alone. In the beginning of Genesis, God noticed that Adam needed a partner. God said, "It isn't good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." God created us to be in relationship with each other. Let me illustrate. A set of twin girls were born 12 weeks premature, each about 2 pounds. They were placed in separate bassinets. One started to do just fine. The other one began to slowly fade. Her heartbeat was rapid. She was visibly anxious, and nothing the nurses could do seemed to be able to stop what seemed like her to be inevitable. The inevitable death. Then one of the nurses remembered something she had read about treatment of preemies elsewhere in the world. As a last resort, the nurse put the weaker twin right into the bassinet with her big sister. Well, the big sister was 3 ounces bigger. The results were immediate and dramatic. The littlest twin snuggled up to her sister, and her heart rate immediately slowed to normal. Her color came back. The baby visibly relaxed, almost, it seemed, with a sigh of relief. She accepted nourishment. The crisis was over. She would survive. That tiny baby did not know who she was or where she was, but she knew where she belonged. And she knew when she was where she was where she belonged. I experienced that with my son when he was born. He was born with hyaline membrane disease, Michael. Marjorie was in one hospital. I was in another hospital with Michael. And they put him in a little intensive care unit, oxygen unit. I'd see Marjorie in one hospital and run down to the other hospital. And I'd go in to my son. And I could put my hands in the little glovey things. I'm sure you medical people are laughing right now. But you put your hand in those little glovey things, and I could hold my son with all the wires and the tubes keeping him alive. Because all the doctors would say is, yeah, we'll wait and see. There's nothing we can do. And as I talked and prayed over my son each night, you could watch the numbers on the screen return to normal. He knew the voice. Our souls are like that. Deeper than words, behind all conscious thought, our souls know what they need. And sometimes, all they need to know is that they're not alone. Someone, maybe someone like you, walks with them through whatever it is they are facing. Walking as a companion, not a judge, not a guide, not as someone with all the answers, but simply as a loving and caring companion, as their friend who lets them know they are not alone. I think that is what Jesus meant when he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." What difference does it make? It makes a difference to others. And maybe, just maybe, it'll make an eternal difference to the person you love most. You can make a difference. Have you ever wanted to make a difference? Here's your chance. Make a difference to God, to Jesus, and yourself, and to every person you come in contact with. Amen.